born again. The gospel reading is found in Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 and following, and it's a familiar story of God's promise to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Nothing is impossible with God." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning, we want to begin a series on the true gifts of Christmas, and this morning looking at the gift of hope. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. This was sent to me, and I should add that it was sent by a woman, and it says this: "According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, while both male and female reindeer grow antlers in the summer, male reindeer lose their antlers at the start of winter in late November. Female reindeer keep their antlers until spring." She goes on to say, "This means all of Santa's reindeer from Rudolph to Blitzen had to be females." And she goes on further to say, "We should know. Only females will be able to drag around a fat man in a red velvet suit all around the world in a single night and not get lost." Well, a little transition from Thanksgiving to Christmas. When we're thinking about Christmas, a lot of us have a lot of hopes that we've had since childhood and beyond, and hopes that continue to grow in our hearts and minds. And we get caught up with presents and things and the glitter and glamour sometimes of Christmas, of all the advertising. I went into Menards to get some Halloween decorations on sale, because Savannah and I always buy them on sale. And it was right before Halloween, and I couldn't believe before Halloween, there was almost no Halloween decorations. It was all Christmas before Halloween. So, and I don't think it's really the story about Jesus so much. Obviously, it's sort of the Christmas, and there's always good into the brightness of lights. But the question for us is really, what's the centerpiece of our Christmas? What's the centerpiece of our Christmas? Is it all about the presents, or is it all about the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord? As we light the candles for Advent this morning, we sort of go through different signs and symbols in those candles. And the first candle is the candle of hope. There's a couple of different series, but we're using the series, and the first one is hope. And so this morning, to think about hope in our lives. And the first thing to think about is we have the gift of hope through the miracle of Christmas. Moltmann, a great theologian, wrote this about hope. He said, "Totally without hope, when one cannot live. Without some goal and some effort to reach, man cannot live at all. When he has lost all hope and object in life, man often becomes a monster to his misery. To live without hope is to cease to live." And if you're a fan of the classics, in Dante's Inferno, there's a description over the hell that says, "At here, leave behind all hope." Well, for us, we have hope as Christians. And what is that hope in our hearts and lives today? I think it's that God comes to us in Jesus in a manger, willing to share our lives and really to transform our life in a powerful way. And you think for a moment about this story of Mary and the promise come to her. And the promise is so central that God uses ordinary things of life and makes them extraordinary through the miracle of love. And the first and greatest miracle is that Christ would come to us born in a manger and share a life, to share our struggles. You think about God could have come if he desired to as the son of a great king with power and glory and a lot of honor, and yet God would choose to come to born of ordinary parents in a less than ordinary way, in a manger in Bethlehem, really in a cattle trough, and really willing to share our hurts and all of our disappointments, to share life itself, and even to die on a cross and to share that we might transform our tragedy into the greatest triumph of all times. And in that, we have the great hope of our lives today. What do you put your hopes in You know, when we look around today, there's a lot of things when you look at advertisement that really are sort of false hopes, aren't they? We think about wishful thinking. We think about maybe blind optimism, or we think about overly ambitious dreams. And sometimes we confuse those with real solid hope. And sometimes when you just turn on the TV, there's all these promises, aren't they, that the latest toy will transform your child, or the newest car will make everything right, or the best car in the snow, or whatever it is, it's going to transform our lives. But we experience that sometimes only to realize that that hope is something that just lasts for a day. It didn't transform our life at all, really. But there's a hope in Christ that makes all that different. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 6, verse 19 says this, and I really like this. It says, "We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure." You think about that image of an anchor for our soul. And if you're much of a boater, I enjoy boating some. I haven't been in a lot of storms, but there's an anchor that keeps you near the shore, and there's an anchor that you need in a storm. And a storm anchor is one that you really invest a lot of money in. It's one you really get on sale. It's one you want to make sure that is got the right kind of bite that will anchor itself to the bottom. And the reason that happens is, you know, if you have a choice and you're a sailor, you want to be in the dock inside in a storm. But should you get blindsided by a storm, what you need to do, if it's really big, is you need to throw out an anchor so that the front of the boat stays into the waves. It needs to anchor down to the bottom with a lot of rope. And you need to make sure that's secure, because if it were to break away, you could just go crashing into the reefs and rocks and be destroyed, the boat and you yourself. And so this writer writes from an image of someone who knows something about sailing, say that, you know, this anchor isn't an anchor that you can't trust. This is an anchor that remains secure, not just in calm waters, but in the storms of life. And what are the storms of life? Well, the storms of life, sometimes we all go through those. We go through storms of illness. We go through relationship difficulties, sometimes financial difficulties. There's a whole list of storms. But we know this, that Jesus, who has come as one of us to share our struggles and our humanity, knows what those storms are like and is here to transform and to walk step by step through life, to offer us hope each and every day in our life. Hope is the candle that lights in the darkest night. We think about some of these prophecies in the Old Testament when you're sort of discerning, you know, sometimes people have questions about the Bible and the prophecies. Peter Stoner is a mathematician, does statistics, and he wrote a book called Science Speaks. And in that book, he takes a number of the prophecies, and there's more than this, but he takes 10 of major prophecies about Christ. And he says that the probability of that being fulfilled just by chance is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Now, that's 1 with 17 zeros after that. Now, most of us aren't mathematicians that sort of understand that, but he gives an analogy, and he gives this. He says, imagine that you were to take silver dollars and to place them on the state of Texas until they were 2 feet deep. Then you took one of those silver dollars and you sort of marked it, and then you put it in there, and then what are the odds of you finding that one silver dollar by chance? He says that according to probability, that's the chance that all those prophecies will be fulfilled in Christ. Now, that may not convince you in and of itself, but it's good to know, you know, when you look at those prophecies sometimes and realize, you know, it's not just by chance these sort of have a confluence that come together in Christ in Bethlehem, that God designed and God had a plan and purpose for all those things. And if God can fulfill those kinds of promises, then what are the promises that God can fulfill for us? How is it that hope transforms our lives? Well, I think hope transforms our lives in a number of different ways. And the first way is that we're absolved from our past. We're forgiven, in other words, from our past. What are the things, the brokenness of our past, the failures of our past, that we maybe didn't live up to promises either to God or other people, and God offers us forgiveness. Listen again to that great promise in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You know, that's the greatest promise of all, and that shines like a candle in the darkness, that we can offer God our brokenness of our lives, our sins and shortcomings, and know that God forgives us and washes us clean. God gives us a new hope and a new future. And God also assures us of our future. None of us can be assured of our plans and purposes. And of course, it's a smart person that tries to put goals in life and sort of navigate life the best way possible. But the truth is, we don't know what tomorrow brings. But when we believe in God, we believe that God has a plan and purpose for our life. And if God could put together all the promises of the universe and bring them together in Christ and take this moment of really magical part of history and brighten all of history, then God can take whatever broken dreams we have and know that God can even take those and have a plan and purpose in each and every one of those to transform our lives. the angel comes to Mary, and I think in one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture, Mary doesn't understand how this will take place, and the angel gives her an answer, and really that probably offers more questions than answers, other than this last sentence that says, "Nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. Today, you can sort of look at your own life and think, you know, what is there that looks like a dashed hope or a failed promise? And offer that to God. God not only offers us forgiveness and new life, God offers us a plan and purpose for life that's a tremendous candle of hope in our light. You think sometimes of Christmas scenes, and sometimes I enjoy going up to Chicago and you look at Michigan Avenue, and of course, I guess there's a lot of glamour there anywhere. I'm not really a shopper, so it's not great, but they light it up for Christmas, and there's a transformation that takes place that's really kind of amazing, particularly at night. You see all the lights, and they used to use all these old-time decorations, which I love best, and now it seems to be more modern, but I kind of like the old-time ones, and that's really impressive. My favorite sort of transformation is not Michigan Avenue, but I really like driving out in the country, and sometimes in Pennsylvania, where I grew up, there's a tradition where you put like one candle in each window of your house, just one candle, and there's a Christmas tree, but in the window of your house, there's just one candle, and when you drive by at night, there's just these series of one candles, and it's really beautiful to me, that's special, and there's a special transformation. Well, I don't know what the transformation is for you, but know that God not only transforms our life in salvation, where God forgives us, but God has a transformation that's really part of all of our life. And if we follow Christ step by step, not just in salvation, but offer him the gift of our lives in turn for the gift of his life, then God, day by day, transforms us for the discipleship. God transforms us by hope each and every day, knowing that we have a plan and purpose. God transforms us by being able to touch other people's lives with the miracle of love. You don't know what your words of hope to someone who's going through some difficulties themselves, maybe you've been through something like that, and you can offer them a word of hope because you have hope in Christ. And that word of hope to them might be the word of hope that they need that day more than anything else. So it isn't just our lives, but we can transform other people's lives as well. I like that little song that we sang about go take your candle into a world. You know, we have a candle that we light from God's candle of hope that each and every day we have offer the light of hope to someone in need. So think today how you can transform someone's life in a special way. This is Advent. It's a time when we think about preparing our hearts and lives for Christmas. And that's really what Advent means. It means coming or preparation. And so we prepare our hearts. And one of the ways that we do that is to light our candle of hope from Christ's candle of hope and then to try to share that light in a darkened world. Today, whatever your broken dreams are, whatever the past and sins and shortcomings, know that God, in the miracle of Christ, come to us, offers us forgiveness and new life. And God also offers us a plan and purpose each and every day of our life if we trust him with that hope in our lives. And you and I have a chance each and every day to share that hope with someone else. There's a wonderful story about an artist who painted this picture, and it was a picture of a little cottage on a dark night in a lonely forest, and it was snowing, and as the artist painted that, it looked terribly gloomy and dismal and dark. But then in the last moment, the artist took his brush and painted a little candle in the window of that cottage, and suddenly that transformed that painting from some dark, dreary painting to a wonderful painting of hope. I think God does that in our hearts and lives today. You and I might have some darkness in our life. We might have some disappointment, even some tragedy. But God's candle of hope can transform our life in a powerful and lasting way, and we can share that hope with others. Listen to what Max Lucado wrote, and I really like this, because sometimes in our darkest night, the candle of hope shines brightest. He says this about Jesus. He says, "When you're neediest, he is most sufficient. When you are completely helpless, he is most helpful. When you are totally dependent, he is absolutely dependable. When you are weakest, he is most able. When you are most alone, he is ultimately present. When you feel you are least, he's the greatest. When you feel the most useless, he is preparing you. When it is darkest, he is the light you need. When you feel the least secure, he is the rock and the fortress. When you are the most humble, he is the most gracious. When you can't, he can." Know this, that the candle of hope that Christ offers us is the true candle of hope that can offer us forgiveness and new life, a hope that can bring light into the darkest night, and a candle of hope that you and I can share with others both near and far. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we begin this Advent season and journey to Bethlehem, we pray that you'd help us to take our candle and to light it from your candle of love, the candle of hope that touches our darkest night and lights it into the brightest day, a candle of hope that offers us forgiveness and new life, the promise that each and every day that you'll walk the step of life and faith with us. Help us, Lord, also to share that candle of hope with others near and far through your power and to your glory. Amen.